All right, well, this represents a group area effort throughout the Mid-South. And essentially what we did originally was just to look at the difference or how much benefit you'd see from spraying some of these technologies. You just heard Dr. Yang describe some potential problems with resistance to some of these BT toxins, and we wanted to see in the field, you know, do you see a benefit then from spraying these technologies? So essentially, this is taking place over a three-year period, this trial, and so our objectives initially were just simply to determine if these BT technologies benefited from insecticide applications targeting these bollworms. And then also, we wanted to take this data and start looking at some relationships to see if we could see relationships between larval densities, fruit injury, and yield, to see if we could maybe develop some sort of an action threshold for the BT cotton. I mean, if we're going to have to be spraying BT cotton to prevent unexpected injury, we'd like to have a threshold to go along with it, at least update our thresholds. And then and all these things we did in 2014, 2015, and then this last year, what we set out to do was to validate that threshold. This was the experimental design we used in 2014 and 2015. And again, we had multiple locations over multiple states. And it was simply a 5x2 factorial where we looked at different technologies, either sprayed or non-sprayed, with Prevathon. And the Prevathon rates kind of range from, 17 to 20 ounces an acre. The technologies we looked at, of course, were like a non-BT, Wide Strike, Bogard 2, Twin Link, and Wide Strike 3. Now, we some of us used a little bit different sampling techniques, so we did have to normalize the data. And we did this by looking at everything in relationship to the non-BT, non-sprayed. So what we're going to look at is a percent difference relative to that non-BT. And then we regressed this with yield across technologies and sites to try to develop a relationship between injury and yield. And we came up with a number of regressions. This is just one and it's not the greatest regression, but it gave us a slope to work with. So so this is the slope we worked with. And then we took this slope and used Pedagogue's, you know, formulas that are just traditionally fantastic. We put them in these formulas and developed our economic injury level. I think most of us have done this in one extent or another. To look at the parameters, though, you know, you have to have this gain threshold to go with it, so that's what brings the economics into it. And what we did is we set our insecticide costs at $24 an acre, and we set the crop value to be variable. So we want to look at crop value from 60 cents to a pound per acre. And so then we set our yield potential to vary, either a low, medium, or high yield potential. We set our low yield potential at 800 pounds of lint per acre, medium at 1,200, and high at 1,400. When you put all these together, you get this nice table. And you'll see this threshold, the economic threshold, the injury level, which is in the black, it ranges from about 5% all the way up to about 15% injury. So we're basing this off injury. And I need to point out, too, this is equal injury. So we sampled squares and bowls, right? But so we're looking at about a 50-50 mix of squares and bowls. So equal amount of fruit when we calculated these. Well, we picked what we thought was a good price, but you know how these things go. We were pretty optimistic at 70 cents because it really went down about 60 right after this. But you know, so we varied our economic threshold at 70% of that economic injury level, and that gave us a range across these yield potentials of about 5% all the way up to about 9%. And so we wanted to pick kind of a level in, or a threshold in the middle, so we picked 6%. And so what we wanted to do then is take the 6% and go back to the field and try to validate that 6%. And this is what we did this last year. And we had 8 locations again, across the entire Mid-South, Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, and Tennessee. And in a similar setup, we use a 3x3 factorial with four replicates. And our technologies in this test, we cut these back. We use a non-BT, wide strike, and Bogart 2. And then our other part of our factorial was the insecticide timing. And for that, we used the non-treated, a preventative spray. So it's kind of almost like an egg-initiated spray. So soon, or any kind of activity, as soon as you start seeing worm activity, you were supposed to make that application. And then we set our threshold in there as well, which was at 6% injured fruit with larvae present. In these tests, we used Prevathon at 19 fluid ounces an acre. We estimated this cost, so when we go back and we start looking at the profitability of this, at $22.50 an acre. And then we also figured the BT tech fees to be about $27 an acre. That's a real hard figure to come up with. So that can be debated what that tech fee really is, because they roll all these tech fees into one, and splitting them out is extremely, extremely difficult. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through a few locations. I'm not going to go through all the locations, but we'll talk about some. This is Jeff Gore's location in Stoneville, Mississippi. And what I've done here is I've split these, the charts on your right are the non-BT, in the middle are the wide strike, and on the far left are the Bogart 2. And it goes non-BT 6% threshold, and then your preventative. The arrows indicate the application. So in what you'll see at Jeff's site, 6% hit at the same time as would have been his preventative spray. And what this indicates is the percent injured fruit on the y-axis. And so you can see a definite reduction in injury from the insecticide applications. And then if you look at the yield at his site, only the non-BT showed a significant difference in yield. Okay, let's look at another one. Here's one out of our location in Winsboro, Louisiana. You can see we have two different colors of arrows, so we actually had two different application timings, the preventative and then also the ones that hit the 6% threshold. And what's interesting here is you look at the Bogart 2, you can see it got the preventative spray, but it never hit threshold. Wide strike did, and of course the non-BT as well. And if you look at our yields, again, they're similar to what Jeff Gore saw in Stoneville, Mississippi, with at least the statistically, the non-BT saw the yield benefit, while the BT ones did not. This is Gus Lorenz's site in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. And again, his all hit at the same time, so he had a single application, whether at the same time preventative and threshold. Had a good reductions in worm fruit injury, but again, Bogart 2, there's not a lot of injury in there. Of course, really, there's not a lot of injury in the wide strike here either. But he did see some nice benefits from spraying. Of course, the non-BT, kind of an intermediate with his 6% on his wide strike, no benefit in spraying the Bogart 2. This is Nick Sider's location in Rower, Arkansas, and you can see he had multiple applications depending on the threshold. And what's really striking about Nick's site is we didn't get good activity out of his insecticide applications, and I'll point this out in a couple slides. And you can also see this in his yield his yields he collected. The non-BT, the 6% did not differ from where it was non-treated. The preventative was much better, and we saw the same similar relationship with the wide strike. We saw no benefit with the Bogart 2. But again, if you look right here, that bar that where he's still seeing it running, 6 to 7% injury in, for instance, in the non-BT, that's right after an insecticide application. Normally, you would think that population might be controlled. What Nick said is this cotton had gotten fairly rank, and he thinks they had coverage issues with that when the 6% threshold hit. This is Scott Stewart's location in Jackson, Tennessee, and again, you can see multiple applications depending on whether it was sprayed at 6 or preventative. His non-BT, the 6% got sprayed twice, his preventative twice. With Y-Strike, they each got one application. His Bogard 2, only the preventative got sprayed. And if you look at his yield relationships, in his test, the non-BT threshold sprayed yielded higher than either the preventative or the non-treated. Wide-strike, there was no difference in where the thresholds were sprayed, but they were both better than the non-treated. Again, no difference in Bogard 2. So what we did then is we pulled all this information from all these trials, and we looked at the yields across these varieties, and then we looked at the yields, you know, within the threshold or the preventive or the non-treated. And we set that Prevathon price at $22.50 and that BT Tech fee at we estimated at $27. And then we looked at the relationships and the interactions between variety and spray timing. And this is what we found was that we saw no yield differences or profitability differences whether you had non-BT or any of the technologies. There was the non-significant. We didn't see an interaction between variety and time and spray timing. But what we did see was a highly significant impact from spray timing. And we don't see a difference in whether we sprayed at a 6% threshold or a preventative. We saw no statistical difference between those, but for every single variety, you'll see a reduction in yield if you don't spray it. And so this shows that there is benefit and there's profitability in treating these BT cottons, regardless of the technology. It also shows that 6% threshold is as good as going in there and treating preventively. And so that's our conclusions. Based on our previous year's information, we think we have a pretty good handle on what would be a good fruit injury threshold. It has a broad range depending on the value of the cotton crop and your yield potential, anywhere between 3 or 4% up to 10%. In 2016, we tested the threshold and looking at a cotton as a value of 70 cents per pound and 1,200 pound per lint yield potential. We thought that the 6% threshold worked out well for us. We don't recommend using preventative sprays at this point. I know there's a lot of interest across the belt with these egg thresholds. Right now, we're not recommending those, but we do see benefit in these thresholds based on injury. But always use that with a caveat. I mean, if there's no worms, there's no worms there if you're too late. So it's injury as long as there's worms present. And with that, I'll thank you. I have about a minute or so for questions. Chris?
So I thought I was following you until you got to your profitability slide. So correct me if I missed something. You never got a yield response on Bogard 2 in the individual tests. They were statistically the same.
So, yeah, well, they didn't show all the tests, but if you take all that data and roll it together, then it does come out as statistically different.
From the profitability?
When you look at profitability. So that's not, you're not just, it's an economic threshold. You got to look at profitability. It's not just about your injury. So what you're trying to justify with that Bogard is, you know, the tech fee, because, of course, the non-BT is not going to have that rolled into it. And so the other things that are inside that profitability matrix is the number of applications that ended up being made. So your average cost across all these locations, okay, whether you sprayed at 6%, I didn't explain it very good, or whether it was preventative sprays.
We'll have to talk later. I'm lost right now.
Mike?
I don't know if it's time, but about your squirrely regression. Well, you're showing us the power to do a validation. Despite all that, it worked.
That's exactly why we did it.
That's great. But now here's the question, though. With that, I think nested in that regression, you've probably done all that. It's like you just showed all the data across all the sites.
Right, that's why it's missing.
I would see if there's any pattern, if any sites behave differently in that regression. Because there's that question about why are these worms doing different things in different locations?
Well, Mike, there actually is because when you look at that, you're going to have locations that needed no insecticide applications at all.
Right.
And then you're going to have other sites where you had worms coming through the technology. So yeah, it really muddies the water.
Yeah, you may have a lot more stuff to look at in your data set than what you're probably already doing, but that you presented to me here.
Walt, do you have something?
Yeah.
It was whenever you had activity. So if you saw a big egg lay, or if you started seeing larvae. And so a lot of times, so we're only checking these fields once a week. A lot of times if you had a significant egg lay and it hatched, well, you probably had 6% injury anyway. So, I mean, a lot of these hit at the same time. Not all of them, but some of them did. Well, the point is that we're trying to give the technologies time to work, and the preventative doesn't do that. The 6% should help give that time. But if you let it go too far, and that's the point on Nick's site, once those larvae go down in that canopy, you could get burned by it. In his trial, the 6% didn't work, but that's because we had control problems in it, because it was delayed. That was sprayed after, like a week after his preventative. So sometimes a preventative is better. All right, thanks.
Thank you.